Here's another inspiring message from Northside Community Church, Sydney.
This morning we start a new series. It's called The Power and Presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're heading for at least this week and the next week or so. And I just wanted to think about last weekend. How powerful what we celebrate is. That the power that raised Jesus from the dead is a power beyond this human, you know, what we would understand. And I got two questions to ask. How good would it be if that same power that raised Jesus from the dead could be in us? And how good would it be if in our life we had that same power to become like Jesus? And the good news is that according to Jesus and according to Paul, we can have that same power in us. The same, the very power, the dunamos, the dynamic power that raised Jesus from the dead, the dynamic power that Jesus didn't need, but he lived a life where he was full of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus had that in his life, and that we can have that too. So we're talking today about the Holy Spirit. That's how. Paul said it this way. He said this: "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." He goes on, he says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I used to go, "Holy who? Holy what? Holy, I mean, Holy Ghost is sometimes being referred to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Who is this Holy Spirit?" One author has written a book on the Holy Spirit, Francis Chan, and he's called the book The Forgotten God. And what he was getting to was the fact that sometimes we focus on God and we focus on Jesus, but we forget to focus on this forgotten God, the Holy Spirit. And so today, that's why part of the reason we're doing this series. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the person, presence, and power of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the person, the power, and the presence of God. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And just as our Heavenly Father is God, and just as Jesus the Son is God, so the Holy Spirit is God. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word used for the Spirit, and it's the word ruach. You want to repeat that after me? Ready? Ruach. Ruach. I hope I got it right. Probably got it wrong, but anyway. Ruach. It's R-O-R-U-W-A-C-H, but we won't get into spelling tests today. It means wind. A blast of breath. And in the Old Testament, in the very second verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, says this: "The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters." The Holy Spirit was engaged and involved in, just as Jesus, the Son of God, was and the Father was, the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation. The Holy Spirit is powerful. This in the time before Jesus, so, you know, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, up to the time of Jesus, quick snapshot of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit did was come upon people and descend on people for a purpose, for a particular purpose, and sometimes for a very short period of time. And then the Holy Spirit would depart from them. And then Jesus comes up. So that was a quick summary of the Old Testament just then on the Spirit. Then Jesus comes along, and Jesus comes full of the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And how's that for the quickest summary of the Old Testament, hey? And in the New Testament, the Greek word for Spirit is the word pneuma. It's spelled P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. And it means wind, breath, strong breeze, life. Life. And so Jesus said to his followers this on the night, in the night that he was betrayed, he had a really long message for him. It goes from John chapter 13 all the way to John 17. Four chapters Jesus spoke in that Thursday night. Heaps of stuff. And then Jesus said this in John 14. He says this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. I think Jesus knows that we need more than one counselor. Because he said, I'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. And Jesus describes the person of the Holy Spirit as a hymn. Not as a hymn that you sing, as a hymn, as a person. Very literally, God in spirit form. This word counselor that's mentioned here, the Greek word, and this is the end of the Hebrew and Greek for today, is the word parakletos. And it means one who comes alongside. One who comes alongside to help and support and to be with, to comfort, to advocate for you. How good is that? Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And after Jesus rose again, he met with his disciples many times. And just before he went up into heaven, he said this to them. It says this in Luke. Dr. Luke records this and he says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Hey, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised. So the Holy Spirit is a gift. And then he says, wait for the gift the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus often spoke about the Holy Spirit. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The word baptize in the Greek is the word, fourth Greek word, Hebrew word for the day, is the word baptizo, which means to dip, to plunge, to fully immerse. And Jesus said that you will be dipped, plunged, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will then be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the word, fifth Greek word or Hebrew word for the day, is the word, the power word is the word dunamos, from which we get our word dynamite. Now, dynamite has an explosive power and it can be used for good or bad. But when Jesus talks about this, it's the explosive, dynamic power of God. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, before we get into talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, let's just have a talk about how people respond with the Holy Spirit. And the first one is this. Some people don't even know about the Holy Spirit. And you may have heard, for those of you watching online, you may have heard this Holy Ghost, or you may have heard the word Holy Spirit, or you may never have even heard about Holy Spirit. What is this about? You may not know who he is. Now, it's interesting that even in the Bible, there are people who didn't know about the Holy Spirit. And so Dr. Luke, who writes the book of Luke and he writes the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, he writes in chapter 19 about Paul went for a visit and he visited a city on the coast. He went to the coast and he was at Ephesus. And while he was at Ephesus, he met some believers who hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. Paul asked them a question. So these were people who believed in Jesus, but they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. It's fascinating. Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No." Well, they probably said it better than that, but they said, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." These were people who believed in Jesus, hadn't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, in the Christian faith, baptism is a really important part of our response to God. Putting our faith in Jesus, turning from our self-centered life, which is the word repentance, and turning to God, and baptism. Baptism is very powerful because it's a visible demonstration of what Jesus has already done for us. Jesus died on a cross. He was buried. And he rose from the grave. And in baptism, a person says, what Jesus did, he did it for me, and I identify with Jesus by being baptized in the water, fully under, buried. And I come up out of that water a new person. Don't underestimate the power and the significance of baptism. And if you want to read about it, read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. It defines what baptism means for followers of Jesus and helps us understand how significant and powerful it is in our spiritual walk and following Jesus. So when these people said they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit, Paul asked them a question. So what baptism were you baptized with? And they said, we were baptized according to the baptism of John. Now John the Baptist baptized people a baptism of repentance. What that meant was people recognized that they were living self-centered lives and that they needed to be God-oriented. And John said, okay, I'm going to help you with that. And that's the baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. But it wasn't Christian baptism. And so Paul then baptized these people in the name of Jesus. He placed his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Some people don't know about the Holy Spirit. You can't say that now. You know. A little bit, and we're going to learn a bit more. Second thing, some people resist the Holy Spirit. In the early church, there was this young, courageous man called Stephen. Stephen, I mean, he had courage. I could use another word, but he was bold. And one day, he was speaking with the religious leaders. These were the very religious leaders that had arranged for the trials of Jesus, the betrayal of Jesus, and who had conspired with the Roman governor, Pilate, to crucify Jesus. These are the same religious leaders. And Stephen is as bold as you can get, and he tells them about Jesus. And he says to them this, even though you have the law, and even though you are religious people, the very person that God sent, you killed him. And Stephen is bold enough to tell them this, that they killed Jesus. And he says to them that by refusing Jesus, you have refused and resisted the Holy Spirit. Listen to his words. Here's what he says. You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart, you are deaf to the truth, must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Now imagine how well that went there. Imagine Stephen telling this to the religious leaders. How well did that go down? Well, it went down so well with them that they picked up rocks and they stoned him to death. But before he died, as those stones were hitting him, he had a vision of Jesus and he said something that is so powerful. He said, "Jesus, don't hold this sin against them." Do you know what he was doing? He was echoing the very words that Jesus cried when he was on the cross, when he said, "Father, forgive these people. They don't have a clue what they're doing." And why was it? And do you know what the Bible describes about Stephen? Because Stephen was telling them about Jesus. The Bible says this about Stephen, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. While he's speaking to them about Jesus, while he's as bold as he is to them about Jesus, and while he knows he's actually going to lose his life telling people about Jesus, the Bible describes him as being one full of the Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was able to forgive, people who are full of the Holy Spirit will be able to forgive like Stephen did. How awesome is it to have that power? Here's another one. Some people receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told a religious leader called Nicodemus that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again, unless they have a fresh start in their relationship with God. So Nicodemus struggled to understand what this means, but Jesus was helping him see that you need the Spirit of God. You need God in your life to bring about a new relationship, to bring about new birth, to bring about hope and life. And on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to his followers, on the day of Pentecost, they were all together there in one place. They were praying. And all of a sudden, there was the sound like a rushing wind that came from heaven into the room in which they were praying. And the Bible, without going into all the detail of that, this sound was the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they told people about Jesus in their own language. These people who had never spoken other languages before, all of a sudden could speak the language of the people who had come to the city of Jerusalem from different parts of the world. And so they were able to speak about Jesus in the language of the different people in that particular area. Why? Because the number one agenda that God has is that the message of Jesus gets out to as many people as possibly can. That's why. And so Peter stood up and he said, "Jesus has died. He's died for our sin. He's been raised to life. He's the Lord of life. He's the Messiah. He's the King. He's the one that we will all answer to." And the people said, "Well, what are we going to do? How should we respond to this news about Jesus?" And then Peter says this to them. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who are the Lord our God will call, for all the people who are sitting in a seat at Northside Crow's Nest. This is a promise. This is a promise. This is a promise for everyone who's watching online. For all the people to come, this is a promise that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God living in you." Years after this message, Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus, and this is how he put it. These people followed Jesus, and he said this, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, which is your rescue. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal." Not a seal. Not one of those seals. No. You are marked in him with a seal. The seal is the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Here's how it works. Here's how it works. When you buy a house, or if you've ever had the privilege of buying a house or a unit or buying a land or buying something, might be a car, sometimes you need to put down a deposit. And if there's a contract and all things are sorted out properly these days, there's a guarantee that that car will be yours if you pay the bill. Here's the good news. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing that we will have a home in heaven. The deposit, it's a deposit guaranteeing that we are God's children and that we inherit the kingdom of God. How good is that? All right, so that's by way of introduction today. And let's just very quickly look at three things the Holy Spirit gives us power for. Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power is for us today. And so the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do lots of things, but let's look at three. Firstly, to courageously share Jesus with people. I mean, we heard the story of Stephen, didn't we? Stephen courageously shared with the religious leaders about Jesus. You know, sometimes when I share Jesus with people, they don't throw rocks at me. Sometimes they don't accept it. Sometimes they accept it. Sometimes they need time to think it through. But the Holy Spirit has given me courage to share Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives you courage to share Jesus with people. When the Holy Spirit filled Peter and the other disciples, the Holy Spirit took away their fear. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit, because here's what it says, what Paul told Timothy. God did not give us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. How good is that? So when the religious leaders told Peter and John, there was this other occasion, religious leaders told Peter and John, they just healed this crippled man, and they told him, stop telling people about Jesus. Whatever you do, these religious leaders said, stop telling people about Jesus. So what did they do? They prayed a prayer, and the prayer went like this. God, you have heard the threats of these people. Give us boldness to tell people about Jesus. Under fear of death, that's the prayer they prayed. Give us boldness. Give us courage to tell others about Jesus. And so after they prayed, guess what happened? I think there was some sort of earthquake. But it says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Now, I've often thought when it comes to this thing filling that it's a bit like a cup or a bottle or a jug. And it's a bit like, you know, at the moment this is half full. And some of us, and I used to think this, that the way to think about it was that the Holy Spirit needs to fill us up. And that's kind of the meaning, but it's actually bigger and better than that. To be filled means to be controlled by, to be under the influence of. That's what it means to be filled. To be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul has to write to some Christians and say, hey, don't get drunk on wine. Don't, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is, don't let the alcohol be the thing that influences your behavior. Let the Spirit, the Spirit, not that Spirit, not that little Spirit. Let the Spirit be the thing that influences you, that controls you. And by the way, that word control, when God uses control, it is always good. It is always good. God's control of us and his influence over us and us surrendering to God, God, you control me, that is always good for us and always good for others. Because, you know, some control is not healthy, but God's control is always healthy and always good. So I want to encourage you with that understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the second thing about the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to grasp the love and the fullness of Jesus. Now at home we have an orange tree growing in the backyard. It's been growing there well before we got there. And the purpose of that orange tree is to produce oranges so all the possums and galahs and cockatoos can eat them. But that's sometimes what happens when you have a fruit tree in Sydney. But the purpose of this fruit tree is to produce oranges. And here's the thing with this fruit tree. For it to produce oranges, the roots have to go down deep into the ground to get the nutrients and to get the water and to get the good stuff so that that tree can be fruitful. And it's the same with us. For us to be people of love, we need to grow down deep into the Spirit who is love. And Paul prayed a prayer for the Christians at Ephesus. And if you want a prayer to pray for someone, this is the prayer. If you would like to know how to pray for people, read the prayers of Paul. Read this prayer. There's a beautiful prayer. Let's look at what he prays. He says this, I pray that from God's glorious unlimited, we sang about this earlier. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand how wide and how long and how deep and how high is the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is not too great to understand fully, though it is too great to understand fully. But then he says, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Why is it that we aren't as loving as we know we could be and should be? It's because we haven't grasped the width and height and breadth and length of God's love for us personally. And when we can get a greater sense of God's love for us, it transforms our soul and our heart and our life, and we can become people who are known for loving others. The love that we have for people is limited by our experience of the love of God. And when we come to know deeply the love of God for us personally, we operate then out of love and trust and faith in him, and we can become more loving. And so I'd invite you today to consider this prayer for yourself, for others. Maybe you'd like someone to pray that for you today. We're going to offer that opportunity. The third thing about the Holy Spirit gives you the power to be like Jesus in character. We sometimes get caught up in doing and doing and doing, but we need to be. And to be, we become the person that God wants us to be. That's why Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Love. Love. The fruit of God's work in our life is that we be people of love. the fruit of God's work in our life is that we be people of joy. The fruit is these things. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And we could do a whole series just on that. But this morning I want to ask you a question, just three questions all in one. Would you pray today that God will influence you, fill you with His Spirit, so that you can courageously share Jesus with others? So that you will grasp the power of His love for you and the fullness of that love. And would you pray, and would you be prepared to pray or have others pray for you, that the Holy Spirit will grow in you the fruit of the Spirit, that you'll become more like Jesus? Today, the elders who are with us this morning are going to be at the back, and I'll be at the back, and I'm willing to pray for you this prayer. Or maybe there are some here today, you need healing. We've got oil here today. We practice a ministry of anointing. We pray for those who are sick. And if you're sick today and you'd like prayer, we'd be love to pray for you. Today's an opportunity for you to have the leaders of the church pray for you personally. If you would like that, if you need that, if you have got something else that you would like prayer for, we're here to pray for you. But my prayer for each and every one of us is that we will know the Holy Spirit. We will know the power of having Him in our hearts and in our lives. And that we would grow down deep. And that we would become more and more like Jesus. Because the love and the power and grace of God has a
Well, thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to find out more about Northside, visit northsidechurch.org.au.